Games in this podcast range from E to M.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the official Xbox podcast. My name is Tina Amini, and I'm here with my two illustrious fellow co-hosts of the show, Malik and Jeff. How are you two doing?
Illustrious. What a word. Great. Great.
I don't even know what it means. I'm assuming it's a compliment.
Yes, it is a compliment. Okay. My quite prestigious, quite talented co-host, if I had to use a thesaurus on the fly.
Back at you, Tina.
And you are a polysyllabic host, so I appreciate that.
Oh, my God.
Just busting out all the SAT words. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
Useful stuff in the real world.
Indeed. We've got a lot to get through today, including an interview later between Jeff and Brian Gerard, community director at 343 Industries, about Halo Infinite's fifth season called Reckoning, which is coming out next week on October 17th. There'll be some content around the new mode, Forge updates, a couple other things. Are you looking forward to it, Jeff?
Yeah, I actually went out to 343 last week to see some of the stuff that they're working on. And immediately I was like, hey, Brian, can you be on the show next week? And he agreed immediately. So excited to talk more. It's a huge week for Halo, you know, between the announcements at the beginning of the week. And we've got the World Championships here that are going to be starting tomorrow. So exciting times.
Yeah, you don't have to get me started on Halo, by the way, because I could go on for a whole episode. I am in love with Halo. And of course, Brian Gerard, a.k.a. Sketch, the community knows him as that. Just amazing. Does he still have the beard and the hair? Because I feel like that was a look over COVID. He had the long hair and the growing pandemic beard. Either way.
We'll save that. He's awesome. Which Sketch would we get?
Exactly.
We can only tease so much without spoiling it all.
That's right.
Well, we'll get to some other news later, but as always, we like to kick it off with what we're playing. And I'm not even going to let you two speak just yet, because honestly, I am so excited about what I've been playing. There's been so much. We've talked about this over the last few weeks that's been out there. So I'm still playing Cyberpunk. I'm still playing Starfield. I'm still playing Payday. I'm still playing Lies of P as all of these games of rapid fire come out. But two new games I haven't talked about on the podcast just yet are Assassin's Creed Mirage and one other. I'll save it for after my rant about how much I'm enjoying Mirage. Yes. I love this game so much, honestly. If you don't know, the basic premise is Basim's origin story. He was introduced in Valhalla if you played the last Assassin's Creed. So it's kind of an origin story of a little bit of around the Hidden Ones versus the Order, and you're kind of uncovering what exactly the Order are up to. You don't know what it is, but you know they're evil, and this kind of journey validates that. There's two big things that I love. One is the stealth route. So Ubisoft has been talking about how they've been diligently kind of going back to that OG formula, and that kind of basic composition of you're scouting, you're putting measures into place to infiltrate an area and to hunt down a target, ultimately, in most cases, in most missions. But you can like take little different routes where it kind of unveils small little story elements along the way. And that's just one of my favorite experiences in terms of like going back to that stealth. And it's all part of a wider investigation. You're like tracking these clues and you're trying to see where they lead you to, presumably a wider, higher stakes conspiracy. But then on top of that, there's also progression elements in place. So you're like picking up new tools and abilities that help you along the way. Some are kind of quality of life. Some are more preferential. Like, do you change the ability on your sleep dart to actually be rage inducing? You know, do you prefer to play a little bit more aggressively? Like that. And then there's another big element to the game that I'm really enjoying that's kind of more personal. But Jeff, I know you've been playing Mirage as well. So is all this ringing true for you too?
Yeah, I'm not as far in as you are. Like what you said at the very beginning, where I'm playing this and I'm playing this and I'm playing this and I'm playing this. I'm very much in that boat. And I have to start finishing games, which I was able to do this week, and we'll get back to it. But the thing that I really loved about, I'd say Assassin's Creed in general, but really like took me in with Origins, which took place in Egypt, was like sort of like destroying my preconceptions of what Egypt is. You know, mm-hmm. I think of pyramids and sand and just, you know, desert. And it was a very different environment back then. So I'm just curious with Baghdad, like as you got to explore, this is one of the bigger cities that's ever been featured in an Assassin's Creed. Like, is there any like, you know, the Baghdad is a character in the game. Like, is there any like really cool imagery or just like sort of experience throughout the city that is sticking with you?
Absolutely. And that's actually the second point too, is that those cultural references, like you don't often see the Middle East very well represented, mm-hmm. except for on the other side of conflict. So it's kind of cool to see the rich history. And obviously, you know, Ubisoft has done a really good job in general, each of their locations for the Assassin's Creed games, of going really deep into that that rich background and making sure they reflected in the art and the quests and people's names, the language, like some of the cute greetings and references that they drop in there. And it's really part of what makes it this particular Ubisoft Assassin's Creed game a great stealth approach, because you're in this like really tightly knit city and scaling a lot of the rooftops more than like that open world. And I think you could make the argument, you know, open world versus the really dense cities, like what's the better Assassin's Creed setting? But I'm loving that really densely packed city. And there's mosques in different areas, like those are really big architectural, not even just religious symbols for cities, but just huge architectural achievements as well. So it's really cool to hop on, you know, all of the synchronization spots and check out like the incredible depth of the city, and then run into some of the discovery elements that they've embedded into the game as well, so you can learn more about the history of it. But so it's based in Iraq. And you can hear like different dialects, which is really interesting. So some people are like, you know, Baghdad or Baghdad, and like, you know, just even how they pronounce the city is very different, because it's all those different elements, those different people within the culture and the environment. And I realized it makes sense. I'm not Iraqi, I'm Iranian, neighbors to Iraq. And there's a lot of crossover culturally, but also just a lot of people who are literally speaking my language, speaking Farsi in the game. I'm like, whoa, I completely understood that. And I wasn't expecting it, but it makes sense in retrospect because of how closely aligned those two cultures are. And even like there's a mission in an area called the Bimaristan, and it took me a second, but I was like, wait, that's literally hospital in Farsi. And it is a hospital that you are infiltrating to investigate what's going on. And I won't spoil more than that, but I've loved it. There's been like tiny and big moments that I've felt like, wow, I understood that. And like, maybe not everybody who played understood that, but if you did, it's kind of like if you played the originals and there's Easter eggs and you have like a greater appreciation for it. So that's definitely one of the reasons I've been, it's become my like nightly routine at the end of every day of work. And I'm about like 15 hours in maybe.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I got to jump in. I feel like I like you all have been like struggling to figure out what game do I play each night. But I think we talked about it a little last week. But the idea of going back to the, you know, the formula of the first few Assassin's Creed is one that I'm super interested in. So just hearing you all gush over it, I'm super pumped to jump in.
I love it. I have one more game, though, to add to your list. And this one's a real big pitch because I don't know that everyone's heard about it. It's an independently developed game supported by Xbox, actually, as part of our developer acceleration program. We featured it in the extended showcase earlier this year. And the second I saw it, I was like, this is my kind of game. This is like a very cool game. It's called El Paso Elsewhere. It's one of the coolest and most stylish games I've ever played. It's got its own original hip hop soundtrack, which is incredible. There's like triggers in each of the levels where they might have like songs with lyrics rather than kind of more that background soundtrack. So it's not just like ambient sound, but it's specifically matching to specific levels. Even the menu music, like I just let it hang on the menu for a second just to listen to it longer. And I really like those details that kind of like draw you in. It's also the, you know, obviously the combat, the story, there's a lot of elements to the game, and I'll explain those things in just a moment so I can round out my pitch for why everyone should play this game. But I like jumping right in, like the tutorial is really clever. Like when I talk about style, even in the tutorial, like you are kind of a vampire slayer. Basically, you are going through a breakup, and like the queen of all vampires, Dracula, is kind of, she's up to no good. She's kind of grappling with expect. Like, yeah, as you can expect, but it's interesting because it's from the point of view of like, you know, they show you snippets of their relationship and how it formed, and like him finding out she's vampire queen, and she's kind of embracing like what she feels her ultimate goal is supposed to be in life, as one does in existential moments. And so he's now, you know, grappling with the right and wrong of taking on his ex-girlfriend to make sure he saves the world. So that's the basic premise. Huh. And in the tutorial, you're actually like the whole time the protagonist, James, is narrating his thoughts and his experiences, which I love that as a storytelling mechanism. But even in the tutorial, he's narrating like, I got to prepare for this battle with Dracula. And that's like the story contextualization as to why you're just learning the basic mechanics of slowing down time, Max Payne style, as you like, you know, leap into different directions to avoid and dodge your enemies, but then, you know, also stake them at close range if you get overwhelmed with crowd control. So I love everything about it. The protagonist, his name is James, is actually voiced by the developer himself, Zelavier Nelson Jr. He's got such a sultry voice that he's like, you can tell he's putting on a specific voice for this character. I'm absolutely loving it. And his emotional journey, like, it's a really well-told story. Coupled with those like really cool Max Payne mechanics and some variety in enemies as well. Has this been on your radar, this game?
I've heard people talking about it, and I've seen Zelavier Nelson Jr. like pop up on Twitter quite a bit, or I'm not calling it X, but and so I've definitely been piqued, but I think you're pushing me over the edge here. I have a lot of imagery now in my head. I've been to El Paso. I don't know if it takes place there, but is it what type of game is it? Sounds like it's an action game of some sort, but then you're mentioning Max Payne. So like paint a little bit more of the picture here.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is third person action, like shooting primarily. So you've got your go-tos, your double pistols, which I love. It's never a single pistol. It's always double pistols. Your shotgun, you know, your rifle, and then you progress to get a couple other weapons that I won't spoil in case people feel like those are spoilers. Everybody's spoiler barometer is personal and different, so I want to acknowledge that. And you've got that like Max Payne slow-mo leap. So you obviously have to build the bar to be able to pull those moves off by killing more and more enemies. And you've got vampires that are just coming full barrel at you, like running full speed, that you can stake if they get too close. And the stake feels so good too. You can demolish any furniture in the environment, any wooden furniture, and get more stakes. So it's just a really like rewarding loop where, you know, at any point of time, it never feels too difficult. There are a lot of like crowd control, and then you've got your variety of enemies where, you know, you've got to get the one before you get the other because some are bigger threats, you know, combined in like different kind of environments too, with different kind of levels. So you have to really manage those sorts of things, but it always feels gratifying. And like the impact of your hits, the fact that the stake is there is that last like, oh no moment before you get totally overwhelmed. It's really well designed. I highly, highly recommend it.
It looks beautiful. Yeah, I mean, I was watching the trailer. If anyone sees my eyes shifting, I'm literally watching the trailer as Tina was talking about it. And you're not kidding about the Max Payne inspiration. It is, if you love that game, this looks very much like it. And just to go back to your point on the developer voicing the character and just this being a product of kind of the developer acceleration program, like you're seeing some really amazing games and games coming out of, you know, developers who are developing independently, that, you know, as we look at how many things we have to play, this is the thing that I love about this show, is that we can come in and talk about these games and get inspired. So I'm definitely gonna have to check this out as well. Just so many games. What are we supposed to do?
You gave me Cocoon last week, which I was like, yeah. I have it loaded, it's sitting right here, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get to it. And now I'm adding this. So if you came here to have your backlog reduced, we failed
wrong
that
show.
Mission.
Wrong show.
Absolutely. We all can embrace the backlog. Everybody's got a backlog of different lengths. But that's shaping up to be just an absolutely incredible year. And I've talked too much. So Malik, what have you been playing?
So I have been playing Forza Motorsport. We talked about it a little bit last week. We had Chris Asaki on the show to kind of go over everything Forza related. But, you know, we're taping, you know, breaking down the fourth wall. We're taping this on Tuesday, and the game is out right now for everyone on Xbox Game Pass, PC Game Pass, Steam, available via the cloud. And so we're like, it's just an amazing time to be at Xbox. I think we've been waiting 6 years for a Forza Motorsport, and something about me, if you've watched this show a little bit, you know that I love Sims. I love pretending that I'm a pilot, even though I'm deathly afraid of flying. So I play Flight Sim. I have no control over my life, so I play City Skylines to have control over other people's lives. And so that is what I love to do, okay? But in this game, in Forza Motorsport, of course, I'm playing as a race car driver. But I've been driving my very own personal car because it's in the game. I said it last week, it's on the show. And so it's just so cool to see the parallels of driving my real life car in the game on a track, because I'd never do it because, listen, insurance rates are high enough that we don't need to take chances. But it's really, and then we've been seeing all of these clips show up online of people, you know, racing in the rain and stuff like that. And so I've been replicating doing that. And so I've just been having a blast playing myself and driving my own car and just driving around and racing against other hatchbacks. But
I was surprised to find out that you had a Lamborghini Murcielago. Like, I've learned all about it.
Most people don't know that about me. And so it's a Volkswagen, but you know what? I should have let the Lamborghini story go. I should have kept that going. Yeah. One day, you know, if I save up enough coins, you know, maybe I'd be able to afford one. But I did bring a little bit of a show and tell. All right. A little show and tell. And I'll go through this pretty quickly. Look at this helmet. Okay. So we talked a little bit last week about the creator event that we had down in Vegas. So I won't go over it again. Be sure to go back and watch that. But we gave all of our creators this helmet and I was able to get one. And this is like the coolest thing I've ever owned in my life. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. If you're watching the show, you check it out. If you're not watching, go to YouTube. Should I do the rest of the show like this? Can you guys even hear me?
Your audio is coming in great.
Oh, let's go. This is staying on for the whole show. All right. But yeah, if you're listening, I'm wearing an amazing Forza Motorsport inspired helmet. I'll take it off because I can't actually hear myself. But Forza Motorsport inspired helmet with my name on it too. So it's exciting. I'm loving Forza Motorsport again. Like, we talked about it a little bit on the show, and so I'll be really brief, but I love what the game is doing as it pertains to teaching you how to be a better driver. And that means giving you ratings for every turn you take, every overtake, making sure that you're doing it super clean. And so I actually feel like for the first time ever, like I'm actually, you know, getting better as I drive because of these subtle little cues that, you know, implicitly teach you how to be a better driver. And so the game's out now, and be sure to check it out. Game Pass. It's in Game Pass. And so, again, another game for you to try.
Let's put that helmet on the set. I want us to slowly build the set back. And we'll be back on the set next week.
Give up my helmet for the set?
Fine.
His name on it.
They sent one to me. I'll put mine in. It's fine. My head's too big for it anyway.
We need one that says the official Xbox podcast on it, obviously.
There we go. I'd be okay. This one has to stay with me. But, Jeff, what about you? What have you been playing?
Yeah, I have been playing Forza as well. I'm curious if you have any. Well, you said your favorite car. Actually, I was playing a hatchback series, and so if you have a Golf, then I've been playing that as well too. And my car is not in the game, and I feel like that's the closest. So I have a Volkswagen ID4. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to get a V-dub and this round. So having a really good time with that. Last night, I sort of mastered Laguna Seca, which has always been my nemesis in any game. Going back to like Gran Turismo 2, I feel like Laguna Seca has always been like a tough one for me because there's like this chicane. I don't know but this part where you like go down two stories while doing an S-curve. And the amount of times I've just like flown over the edge and hit the tree that's on the other side of that. And it's the only race course I've ever been to like in real life. And because it's not far from where I used to live in the Bay Area. And so I actually got to go on the track like very slowly, not driving, by the way, in the passenger seat or in the back seat. But and I was like, oh, a professional knows what they're doing. I have no idea. But you know, the ratings, and I went through and on my final lap, I got like a 7.9 in that sequence. And I was like, I'm getting better here. Cause at the beginning, so you do some practice runs. And then when you go to the actual race, you can choose what starting place you're at. And the default is sort of in the middle. I want to say like 12th. And it makes a prediction, like based on your skill level, we think you're going to finish here. And based on difficulty and however else they get that magic number. And it basically told me you're not going to win this race. And I took that personally. And and I ended up like barely winning that race, and just the level of accomplishment, you know, sort of like in a Souls-like or something like that, when you think I'm not going to be able to do it, and then you do it, that feels really good. So that was sort of how I wrapped up last night, which is why I have this here. But something that tends to stress me out is when I do have a big backlog, especially of games that I've started but haven't finished. So I've been, I spent the weekend, I finished Starfield's campaign. I will say for the first time, I now understand what people talk about with the way New Game Plus works. And I actually ended up playing for another couple hours in that New Game Plus because I immediately was like, I'm not putting my controller down. This is cool. I will say I was very satisfied with my gameplay, with my playthrough. I finished all the faction quests. I got sort of the endings that I wanted, or I deserved, I guess one could say, in those. So I was very pleased. And now I'm like, all right, well, maybe I'll do things differently this time. But really cool where that game goes, and I loved it. I played, I want to say 65 hours on that playthrough, and I understand why people say, oh, you can play this game for 150 hours and not see everything, because there are so many red spots on my map of systems that I just never landed on. And so one day I will come back to that. The other thing, I was looking at the calendar as we're recording this. It's like October 10th, so you're probably seeing this on the 12th. We're about 4 weeks away from Like a Dragon Gaiden, the Man Who Erased His Name, which is the next Yakuza game, coming out. And I had my dirty secret is that I had never finished all of the Yakuza games. I had been saving Yakuza 6 as like the final chapter in a book I didn't want to finish reading. Like I could have finished it anytime. I was like, nope, I'm putting it to the side. And one day I will want that, you know, that chicken soup or that whatever, that comfort food game. And so I had been sitting on it, but now it's like I have a month to go. And really, this game is a direct sequel to that. And so I was like, okay, well, now I got to get after it. And so over the past couple of weeks, I've been going through. And last night, I finished Yakuza 6, The Song of Life. And I loved it, which is not surprising. But now I'm very ready, predictable, if anything. You know, that team knows how to please me. And so we're just a few weeks out. And so that game is going to be coming soon to Xbox and coming to Game Pass, which is amazing. So I expect you all to join me on that journey in a few weeks, and I'll be talking endlessly about it. And I'm working on getting some guests, some really interesting guests for that game as well. So that's what I've been playing. Except for that, I just want to go back to that trip I mentioned last week. I went to 343 Industries. They're obviously not terribly far from Seattle here. So they invited me out to check out some of the things that they're working on in season 5. And one of those things that they were like, do you want to play? Was the answer is yes. A new mode that was just announced this week called King of the Hill Firefight. So King of the Hill, very well-known mode. Firefight, very well-known mode. You put them together, and what you end up getting is a really fun team-based, like PvE experience, where you're fighting off hordes of increasingly powerful enemies, holding a territory, which then moves to different territories. So, and you end up outscoring the AI, if you will. And there's different difficulty levels and everything. I sat down, immediately just got super into it. I was playing with some other folks in their testing lab, which was great. And I will say it felt awesome. There were a few weapons that I was playing with for the first time. And this is going to be like my next co-op, you know, like especially because you can change the level. You don't have to get too sweaty. I was playing on normal. So it just felt like the exact right level of challenge for me. I'm sure there's people out there that would be playing on legendary or heroic, and good for you. I think for me and my like sort of level of sweatiness and my friend's level of sweatiness, it's going to be like just like, hey, let's catch up and talk while we're doing this. This is going to be like a great mode for that. So I that's just like one of the things that was announced. So I feel like you should not be hearing from me anymore about what's going on in Halo Season 5. So why don't we take it over to the conversation that I had with the 343 community director, Brian Gerard. You may know him as Sketch, and here he is. And as promised, the community director of 343 Industries, Brian Gerard, is here. We weren't sure if we were going to get full hirsute, long beard, Rip Van Winkle, Brian Gerard, or clean shaven. And it looks like we split the difference here.
Yeah, it's hybrid, you know, business up top, I guess, party down below. I don't know how that goes. But yeah, you know, the locks, I'm here for a new era. Got to streamline. We're busy now. It was a fun experiment while it lasted. But at the end of the day, it just became a huge pain in the butt to manage. So I'm back to my shorn self.
Well, you're looking great. I wish I could grow a goat like that, but you know what? I'm glad you've streamlined, because like you said, it's very busy now. And I don't know, only you could say this, but this feels like maybe the busiest week of the year for Halo and for Halo fans. A lot going on right now.
Oh, no question. Between season 5, which we'll get into here in a second, for sure our biggest, best season yet. And then, of course, with the Halo World Championship $1 million esport finals just days away, this is the biggest, for sure, the biggest week we've had since basically last year's World Championships.
Let's take it day by day then. At the beginning of the week on Monday, there was a pretty comprehensive overview and a really cool trailer on season 5 called Reckoning. And there's a lot for fans to reckon with, if you will forgive that. You don't have to forgive that. But where do we even start here? Do you want to start with the infection? Do you want to start with the progression? There's so many changes. There's so many things here.
It's true. You know, you're totally right. Like season 4, infection was kind of, let me just first say, like, big shout out to the team. I feel like without a doubt, every season that Infinite has had, we're just getting that much better. They're just that much more jam-packed with everything that we're hearing back from players that we know players are interested in. So I'm really, really excited and happy of all the work the team's done, and the fans are here. They're here for it, right? So the hype's been awesome. Season 5, I think it is hard to kind of fit into a singular theme like season 4. It had infection was the through line. That was our new mode. Season 5 is just like sort of, jokingly, it's like the kitchen sink season. There's just a little bit of everything and something for everyone here. If we want to take it from the top, Jeff, very excited. We've got 2 brand new maps coming into the game. These are arena maps, kind of built, for that 4v4 gameplay. We have one map you probably recognize in the trailer. It's called Prism. This map, to me, visually stands out. It's not like anything else we've done before. The fiction behind this is it's like these are like the caves where they mined the Blamite crystals that are the needlers. So, the needles you shoot out of your gun. I guess somewhere there's people working in the mine, slaving away, harvesting these shards, and then that becomes the ammunition.
Very carefully, so, I would hope, because those things do explode.
They do, right? I think in the trailer, you even see a moment, when a player runs by, you can shoot it, and it's kind of an environmental effect, damage, if you will, and then the needles will kind of home in on anybody who's nearby and have that same type of damage as the needler weapon. So I just love the visuals. There's a lot of pink and a lot of purple hues. It just looks very distinct, and that's going to be a lot of fun to play on. And then our other map, Forbidden, it's a little bit more of a grounded palette and focus there. It's more like an abandoned Forerunner structure. I'm kind of get some throwback vibes there, maybe like just little hints of something like a sanctuary or something like that, but it's got a jungle side, a barren side. This map is tuned to be a little more competitive, so I think right now this is like the map that we'll see end up in ranked playlists, for example. But both of these maps will excel as well as the other maps already in the game for our new mode, which is Extraction.
I had said infection. I meant to say Extraction, so I appreciate correction here. Tell us about Extraction. This is back from Halo 4, right?
Yeah. So yeah, Extraction is an objective mode that debuted in Halo 4. It is back. It's kind of been reimagined, but the gist of this is it's objective based, 2 teams against each other, and you're trying to sort of plant and arm and defend this like a device. You'll see it. I'm sure there's official lore name for that. I don't know what it's called, and I'll probably mess it up. So you just take this like little technological doohickey and you stick it on the map and you do your best to defend it until the cycle's completed. And sort of that's how you'll score and progress. So 2 teams kind of go back and forth, arming and defending and trying to run up the score while, of course, doing their best to outslay their opponent. So I think a lot of good hype and excitement for that. I'm a big fan of the objective game modes personally. I love playing me some CTF. And so I think this is going to scratch a good itch there.
So I've noticed some pretty big restructuring about how progression works. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I want to state, like, even though we haven't been able to act on everything as quickly as we or our players would like, we've always been listening to this feedback, and we've heard a lot of this feedback, and we're at a point where we're finally able to start making big strides. And I think, one of the things, looking back at the Battle Pass, it's always had some cool customization content, but, by our own admission, we were limited in how we could present some of that content. And specifically, I'm talking about, in the old days, you would unlock a left shoulder, and then a couple tiers later, you unlock a right shoulder. You might unlock a version of an armor coating that only works on this core, and then a couple tiers later, you get the same coating, and now it works on that core. So pretty excited for Season 5. What this boils down to is we've taken what used to be the 100-tier pass, and we've compressed it down into 50 tiers. That's just jam-packed. It's like, less filler, basically, less fluff. It's all the good stuff really condensed in. We think this is going to hopefully not only result in just a better experience for players, because we can get into this in a minute, but I think this is our best pass yet in terms of content. I mean, it's the flood. Come on. And Halloween effects? Like, please, take my money. But condensing this all down should also address some feedback where we know not every player has the ability to sort of complete the grind through a whole pass. So it's going to be easier to get through 50 tiers. Also, we're not going to be wholly reliant on challenges anymore. So you'll be able to kind of play the way you want to play. And that could be anything from playing Super Fiesta to Big Team Battle. Maybe you want to play custom games. And now for the first time, you'll be able to earn match XP to progress your pass by just playing in customs with your friends, which not only I think will make it easier to progress, but I'm really hopeful that's going to drive a lot more people into the custom game browser and just kind of invigorate and kind of bring new life to that scene, right? Because historically, you'd have to always have that trade-off. Like, I really want to play some cousins with my friends, but I kind of want to keep unlocking stuff, you know? Yep. So that's been a long time coming. Very excited for that. And I also want to give a shout-out that we're shifting away from what we used to call events, and now they're going to be referred to as operations. And I think the main piece of feedback we'd heard there from events, which, you know, for folks who may not be familiar, an event was just like a two-week-long thing in game. You'll go play for free and you'll unlock some free rewards. Still going to be free rewards. It's still 20 tiers of free rewards. But the feedback we had gotten is if somebody wasn't online or in town or available mm-hmm. and the event came and went, you just lost your chance forever to get that content. So operations allow us to still serve a 20 tier fun, cool, free content experience. But then after that operation has ended, it just kind of moves into the shop and it's available for like 500 credits and you can just pick it up at any point you want to and still progress it at your leisure. So it's exciting to see that fans are already resonating there and that that's sort of checking the right boxes for them, because we just know, you know, people kind of come and go. I don't know about you. I got way too many games I'm juggling and it's not always realistic to just game by appointment, you know?
Yeah, I do wish all battle passes were as respectful of time where you can go back to it. So I do thank you there. And I'd imagine just based on the feedback that I've been seeing, it's from the announcement of these things, you know, seems positive. Like a hearing. Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Well, you brought this up. Let me just reiterate that, too. I mean, the Halo Infinite, the premium battle pass mm-hmm. is still the only battle pass I'm aware of in the industry that doesn't expire. So if you choose to buy it, which, by the way, I should also add, there are 20 tiers of free content in that battle pass. So we've actually moved all the free content up to the front now. So if you're just a free player, there's a lot of good stuff in there. You'll still get a complete kind of cool new armor look out of it by the time you're done. But it should be less investment on the player side. It should be easier to move through that content and get it. But if you do decide you want to pay the 1,000 credits to get the full 50 tier premium pass, it's yours to keep forever. It never expires. And at this point, we will have had 5 battle passes active in the game, and you can freely switch between any one at any point and progress it and put it back on the back burner. Now you want to go back to season 3. So I just love that even players that are new to Infinite today have this huge backlog of content there for them at any point if they're willing and interested and want to go after it. And, you know, we kind of paid our dues in season 1. Now these players can benefit from custom game XP, faster progression, less dependency on challenges. So not only is that content still there, it'll be easier to earn than it ever was originally.
Very, very cool. Now, just before we started the interview here, I was mentioning how I visited your office just a few days ago, and I got to see 2 things that are also a big part of season 5. First one is some really interesting deployment of AI within Forge. Can you just tell us in general how Forge is doing and the community, you know, there, the creations and the games that are being played?
Yeah, I mean, Forge, ever since that came out, obviously goes without saying, a huge game changer for Infinite. Currently in the game, we have released over 40 maps that have been made by the community. And, you know, this is not new to Halo. When Forge was introduced with Halo 3, it's kind of always become this pillar of the game, if you will. But with Infinite, I think Forge has obviously gone to the next level with the technology and the power we have of modern platforms. That barrier between what used to be a developer map and a Forge map, mm-hmm. it's almost indiscernible now. If you've seen some of these maps that the community have been putting out, they are mind-blowing. I mean, they are as good as any sort of first-party in-house map that I would play. So Forge has just been a big boon to fueling that UGC community and also just helping us players, myself included, just have a constant cycle of fresh, cool content to play with while the studio's obviously heads down kind of working on these bigger initiatives. So I think last I'd heard, we'd have roughly over 2 million various Forge creations have been made since launch, and it's just a very vibrant community there. So what you're referring to, I think Michael Shore, who runs our Forge team, has been teasing this for quite some time, but they've always had this sort of ultimate goal of how do we get to a point where players can not just build multiplayer maps and modes, but now take these PvE encounters that we love in the campaign, we love fighting against elites and brutes and grunts, and how can we inject that into Forge? And that is the Forge AI toolkit. So players are going to be able to have access to pretty much the entire banished cast of characters from the campaign, including the bosses, and drop them into custom-built spaces, or even the maps 3x3 is already made, and use our scripting language and our node graph editor to build scenarios. So you could have AI teammates fighting alongside you while you're playing a game of CTF. You also could build something more like Firefight, where you're fighting against wave after wave. So I can't understate how exciting this is. I think the community has wanted this ever since the first Forge release ever happened in Halo 3. This has been something that people have dreamed of. And I can't believe it's happening. And this is just the beginning, and just getting this into the hands of the community, they're going to immediately do things that we've never even thought of that were possible.
Yeah, that will be the exciting part, and probably some things that, I know you'll highlight those over on Halo Waypoint, which is just something worth noting. I've noticed you've been already highlighting Forge, creations pretty regularly, but with AI, I think it's just going to, it's going to just go significantly upwards from there. One of the things that was I thought was really interesting is I was looking at these tools, and I know most people there will be a lot more people that consume the content and benefit from that versus creating. But that I asked the question, I was like, is there like a pathway from creating things in Forge to like, you know, maybe working here one day? And the gentleman I was talking to was just like, yeah, that's me. I was working on, you know, Forge creations back in the day and caught the eye. And so I know a lot of times people will say like, well, how do I get into the industry? And there are many pathways into the industry and many different types of roles. But I mean, this feels like getting access to developer grade tools at home through your game.
Absolutely. You're totally right, Jeff. I mean, I know people over all the years who have gotten a start in the industry just because of Forge, because it's super accessible. It's inexpensive. I mean, heck, it's free, right? Like, it's an inexpensive tool. It can definitely help hone your skill if you want to be a map designer, environment designer, even a gameplay designer, because now the scripting of modes is so interesting. You could make something like the Repulse Soccer mode that the community created, you know, where it's like the new version of Griffball. It's just a whole different way to play the game that they've created all themselves using these tools. So absolutely, it can help you build up your portfolio. And when you want to go try and shoot your shot and get hired somewhere, you actually have a body of work, you know, you can show from concept to mass out to playable. And even better, you can say, I did all this and my map made it into matchmaking and it's been played by millions of people. So I appreciate you calling that out. And I love all around the studio, honestly, in every team, we've got people that have truly been plucked right from the community. They started in the community as Halo fans, and now they're on this side and they're just kind of paying it forward.
That's so awesome. Also, pretty awesome. After we got a run through of the AI, and I'm sure you all will talk a lot more about that in the coming days and weeks, a controller was pressed into my hands, and I got to try out the new mode, Firefight King of the Hill. I know that there's going to be more shared this weekend. We can't jump ahead of the queue, if you will, but there's a little bit you can talk about now, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, did you have fun?
I will say it's the most fun I've had with Infinite since like those first few months when we were playing like, you know, every day. And I'll admit I got sucked into Elden Ring, and I just haven't played a ton of shooters since then. This is what's going to get me back personally and doing that sort of Friday night group play.
Well, that's great to hear, because I think that's certainly our hope. We know there is obviously I think the team's done a great job continuing to feed the machine for sort of the competitive and sort of, you know, semi-sweaty and social, but the true PvP crowd, right? And Halo's kind of always been that campaign, PvP, but also that PvE firefight-like experience. So we knew that that was an audience that Infinite wasn't truly servicing. They've been very vocal with their feedback. So this should hopefully bridge that gap and allow people that just want to go in and just enjoy fighting against super fun Covenant enemies wave after wave. By the way, also now earning progression against my Battle Pass while I'm doing it. I really think this is going to be cool. And essentially, you know, the name gives it all away. It is like the Firefight experience mashed up with the King of the Hill game mode. And I'll just say, you know, we saw this a little bit in the trailer as well. It's just you and your teammates really fighting to move around and control these hills while you're facing increasingly difficult rounds of AI banished opponents. And it's a good proof point of kind of what the AI toolkit will be able to enable players to do themselves. And I know the team here really views it as kind of just the foundation. Like, we're going to put this out in their hands, hopefully to inspire players and really just be a springboard. Now take this and go and make it something even cooler, bigger, and better. And also, you're right, for folks that are interested in learning more, tune into the Halo World Championships this weekend. I think Sunday we'll be talking a little bit more about King of the Hill Firefight. Also on Friday, about 1 p.m. Pacific, we'll have a Forge kind of overall Season 5 live stream that'll be on the community stage. That'll be broadcast as well. You'll be able to catch that on YouTube Halo channel live. But Michael Shore and some folks in the team are going to run through the whole AI toolkit and some of the other bits and bobs that are new to Forge as well. For the creators, we have two new canvases, hundreds of new objects, and some quality of life improvements as well. So, you know, Forge, I think, really is kind of one of our shining stars here and a very, very exciting step forward for where the game's going to go.
So as you talk about, you know, the Halo World Championships coming up here tomorrow is when it all kicks off. And as you just indicated, it's not just esports. Obviously, that is like the crux of it. There's a $1 million prize. But can you just tell us for those who have never gone, like what to expect, whether you're there in person or if you're going to be watching on YouTube or Twitch?
Sure. I mean, you're right. The World Championship, big shout out to Tashi, who's our esport leads here, and their team. Their vision has always been, you know, not only putting on a premier $1 million plus prize pool for the best Halo players in the world, but really making it a celebration of all things Halo. And it's a big community moment where people will travel in from all around the country and around the world. And it's just 3 days of pure Halo fandom. So what I'm going to be mostly involved in personally is what we call the community stage. This will be set off over to the side. So, you know, while the esports tournament's happening, we have 8 hours of programming on Friday and Saturday that are developer panels and special guests. And speaking of special guests, we've got none other than Jen Taylor, the voice of Cortana. We've got Steve Downs, the voice of Master Chief. And for the first time ever, I'm super excited, we have Keith David, the Arbiter.
Oh, okay.
So they're all three going to be there in person, doing meet and greets, doing fun panels. The panels, by the way, are all going to be live streamed. So you'll be able to catch those on Twitch and on YouTube. You want to stay tuned to Halo Waypoint and our Halo social channels. We'll put out the full schedule over the next day or so. But, you know, it's definitely a special moment for fans in person, but I want to make sure everybody else knows that there's still a lot of goodness to tune into. It's going to be a good show to watch. We're going to have Twitch drops available for the stage and for the esports broadcast. So just a lot of really cool off-the-wall things. I'll tell you, one of my favorite Jeffs we did last year, we're going to repeat it this year. Imagine those three iconic voice actors on stage rereading some of the most impactful lines in the history of Halo, but with a Mad Libs twist with the audience throwing out adjectives and nouns and verbs, right? So that gets really crazy. Also, by the way, for people in person, we're going to have a lot of this new Season 5 content there playable on the show floor throughout the weekend. So go hands-on, play some Extraction, run around Prism, shoot some Blamite crystals. We're going to have all that there to do in person as well. So really is just a celebration of all things Halo, and then it culminates on Championship Sunday where we're going to see, honestly, I think going into this weekend, we have the closest spread of skill we've seen in the HCS in years. And I think there's many different orgs that could come out on top this weekend. So there's no true one favorite. I think we're going to see some really, really good competition. Also worth noting, there's a whole bunch of pickup events happening as well. There's a free-for-all tournament. There's throwback tournaments happening on the older Halo games. One of our esports organizations, Sentinels, is throwing a giant 2v2 tournament all day on Friday. So just a lot going on. It's a jam-packed weekend. But folks should absolutely stay tuned to our social channels, also at HCS on Twitter. It just feels weird calling it X. I'm sorry, but
we're on the same page.
Yeah. I hope to see you there, by the way. You got to come by. It's local. You have no excuse.
I guess I don't. So I'll consider that an invitation. So between HCS and the World Championships and Season 5, it sounds like a lot of it is really a lot of listening to the community, embracing the community, spending time directly with the community and giving them opportunities to be heard. In between these moments, if someone's listening to this next week and it's over, what's the best way to reach you and your community team?
You know, I'd say we're very active on social, so there's a lot of opportunities to share feedback on social. We also keep tabs on the usual suspects. We have our own official Discord server that we're very active in as well. So
give us names. I want addresses. At what? How do we find this directly?
Well, it's called Halo on Discord. I could get you to drop that in. So I guess that's how you do it. But yeah, I would invite folks in there. You know, Sam and our community team's done a great job setting that up. We have a great moderating team. Lots of resources there too, by the way. You could find people to play games with. If you want to learn how to make Forge maps and how to get your maps into matchmaking, there's lots of tutorials and guides there about kind of what the team's looking for. But yeah, beyond that, I also want to give a plug. If people want to go to HaloWaypoint.com, we have a program called the Halo Insider Program. It's kind of our sort of feedback and outreach program, just free to opt into. Our user research friends at Xbox send out surveys on a regular basis to gather all sorts of perspectives and feedback. These things are super useful to us. They actually help us decide and help the team decide on should this feature go this way or that way. So it's incredibly valuable. It just gives a Halo fan a real chance to have like an actual impact on the outcome of kind of where the franchise is headed. And then, of course, sometimes we put out pre-release builds that we call flights, and people can go hands-on early and have a chance to test drive stuff, kick the tires, and give us feedback there. So that's probably a good place to start. But we're always out there, always listening. So we just appreciate people playing and supporting us, and just keep the feedback coming.
Brian Gerard, the community director at 343 Industries. Before we started recording, you were like, we're planning this to be 7 minutes and it's going to go 20. And I have a feeling that's exactly what just happened here. But thanks. That's because there's a ton there. And I'm excited.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have, Jeff. It's just too much. There's just too much. And we didn't even cover everything. I still got about 10 things we didn't even get to.
HaloWaypoint.com. All right. I'm going to stay here, but you're going to move, and we're going to bring everyone else back here and hit the news and wrap up the show. So let's do the effect thing. Do it.
That's a wrap on Brian. Thanks again for joining. We're all looking forward to the Halo World Championships this coming weekend. But we've got some new releases to talk about. We teased some of these last week. Obviously, Forza Motorsport, we mentioned at the top of the show. Malik and Jeff have been playing lots of that one. I've got to catch up, add that one to my ever-growing list of my backlog. We also mentioned Lords of the Fallen is out this week as well. That game is looking incredible. We mentioned it's a Souls-like, but with co-op, which I really personally appreciate as well. If you've been paying attention and watching the many gameplay impressions and trailers out there, the devs have really been taking feedback from the community. So it's been really cool to see that game evolve as they've been showing off more of it. It's looking really polished and just gorgeous and a lot of fun. It's like super dark and gothic, but then you also have a lot of these cool lighting effects for all of your magical abilities and super creepy enemy designs. So look forward to that. Wildcard Football is also out this week. It's we mentioned this one last week. It's an arcade style football game, 7v7. They've got a wild card system within this game as well. It basically involves some power ups and some rule breaking abilities, which is cool. And then also coming to Game Pass newly is From Space. It's a solo and co-op action shooter, up to four players in a post-apocalyptic world where you go up against aliens. So add that one to your backlog as well, or just play it immediately, whatever your preference is. And then next week releases, there's a couple interesting things coming out shortly as well. Endless Dungeon. That's a if you're familiar with Dungeon of the Endless, this is a sequel to that game, or rather kind of more of a spiritual successor, but I love the play on their own title. It's a tower defense twin stick shooter developed by Amplitude Studios, published by Sega. Also coming out next week, Sonic Superstars. This one is a platform game from the Sonic team, also published by Sega. Sega's having a good week. It's a side-scrolling Sonic the Hedgehog game, as you can remember, of the past. So they're definitely trying to take a lot of notes from the origins from the Sega Genesis 90s game. If you've seen the announcement trailer, which was around 4 months ago, I really liked how they played homage to that by having Sonic run back and forth between like the retro 90s gameplay view and the updated graphics as well for this new one. It's got new stories, new zones, four player, fan favorite Fang is back, that mischievous little guy. And then also Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, that's turbocharged. It's coming next week as well, a racing video game, of course, developed and published by Milestone. So lots of new games to look forward to.
Yes. And yes. No, I was a Genesis kid growing up. So like those old school sort of Sonics definitely work for me. Like I remember riding my bike up to get it, Sonic 2, because that game was like, there was nothing we had ever seen anything like it. So blast processing, worked for me, definitely. Still soft spot for that. So depending on, you know, what you might want to be playing this on, bit of news, we just announced this week the Xbox Series S Starter Bundle. This is launching on Halloween for $299.99. It's Xbox Series S in white is the 512 gig model, and it now will include a 3-month Game Pass Ultimate membership. So if you're looking for that travel kit, it pairs very well with a up-spec screen. I don't know if you've ever used the X screen, but it is an amazing addition to the Series S. It makes it like portable. I've seen Greg Miller playing it on a plane. I don't know if I would stand it up the way he does on the tray, but you know what? Working for him. I think that's how he played a chunk of Assassin's Creed Mirage for his review.
Yeah. I'm surprised the plane has enough power for that, by the way. Like, I didn't know it supplied that much power, shout out the plane.
The energy. It's great. and then, speaking of consoles, we talked about the Sega Genesis here a second ago, talking about on the new end, the Series S, and then somewhere right in the middle was our good friend, the Xbox 360, which has a Mega Bloks version.
He's already got the gloves on.
I do. I have the gloves on. These are the same gloves I wore last week. There's Dorito dust on here.
It's okay.
So, no.
Apparently, you have to launder them. Larry never told me that. He didn't talk about the care and upkeep of of white gloves. So I'm going to open this. Do you have a description? This is something that's available now, right now. Malik, can you give me some ASMR?
Absolutely. As Jeff opens this box that is giving me all of the nostalgic vibes, we want to talk about this awesome collaboration with Mega Bloks of, in my opinion, my personal opinion, this is Malik's opinion, the greatest console of all time. But I'll stick with the marketing line of the most influential gaming console of all time. As you see Jeff showing off the box there, it is literally a 3/4 replica of an Xbox 360, and specifically alongside Halo 3, which is when I jumped into Xbox 360. Yes, 2 years after it launched in 2007. And I jumped in. Yes, this is a completely buildable and light up console and controller. So yes, there's a little bit of work involved with it that you're going to have to do as Jeff opens the box and shows all the goodness inside of there. Let me see how many parts this is, because it doesn't say how many parts, but yeah, you're gonna have to do some work. But this is awesome because, again, people look back at 360 so fondly.
1,342 parts. This is gonna take me a while. This is very hard to do with.
You need two more hands.
I do. Yes. I do.
And Jeff is gonna build all of it right now before the end of the show.
Well, you ever put together like a complex set like this? So I love how they divide them into bags, so you know this part might be part of the controller. This one might be part of looks like maybe the motherboard or something. There are 23 different bags here. So this is going to take me a few hours, 1300 pieces. I've seen it put together. It's really cool in that there's a lot of great details. There's even, this is amazing. Oh, that's part bag number 24. Yeah. So, and it's actually, it's got the back of the box. So like this will take you back in time. It looks like there might be a little disc in there. So I'm going to put this together and put it on the set, hopefully in time for next week. This would be a good, shut off the screen for a little bit, activity for me. So do you want to talk about where people can get this?
Yes, I believe you can get it at Target, which here in the U.S., I'm not sure if it's available worldwide, but definitely you can pick it up at Target. And it has there's working lights on it. It has the hard drive, the iconic 360 hard drive. Be sure to check out Target for this. And I know that I'm going to be heading over there because I need more cool things like Jeff's background. And I think this is the thing to add to it.
It was out of stock when it first got announced a few weeks ago. It sold out like same day and it very quickly. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to show it on the show unless it's back in stock. It is back in stock. And if you order it, it looks like it would be here in 4 days. There's even some stores. There's one left in this store. So they're in stores and they're available online. So yeah, target.com. Check it out. It's really cool. And I can't wait put it together and bring it in. So we'll show off the final version when we're back in studio next week.
If I get one of those, can I pay you to put it together for me? Or like, is that a thing that
my architectural skills come at a very steep rate?
All right, well I'll work on it, I guess, myself.
I love how it's Jeff must get through backlog and finish games. Also, Jeff, we'll just put together this side project and help Malik on his as well.
Yeah, why not?
Well, is it time for our audience question?
Ooh, I think it is.
Oh, well, we talked last week. We had an audience question last week, which was just kind of putting it to the room and putting it to ourselves of wondering what the best Assassin's Creed assassin is. We talked about that last week. We asked you all to share your thoughts on that as well. Well, we've got a new question this week. And in commemoration of the fact that we've got some Halo updates coming up, we just want to know what the best Halo mode is of all time. So, Jeff, since you've been in a Halo mindset, what do you have to say?
Yeah, this is something that I didn't. I was just probably like a traditional either Team Slayer or Rumble Pit guy back in Halo 3 when I was playing that. But in later years, I learned to embrace teamwork a little bit more. And I will say with Infinite, where I spent the most of my time was with a good group in big team battle. And so I would say that would be, that's where I have the fondest memories now. And although Firefight, King of the Hill maybe, or King of the Hill Firefight is rapidly moving up. I only played a couple of games, but we'll see when it comes out later in season 5. That may rapidly go up the charts.
Malik, how about yourself?
Well, this is so difficult. It's hard to decide which Halo do I go with. I know, like, personally speaking, as far as modes go, I'm just a standard Slayer person. But then when I started playing Infinite, I got really into tactical Slayer because I just love that high risk, making sure you go for the headshots, you know, high skill kind of play. But if I had to pick my favorite Halo mode of all time, which again, I'm going to say again, is really difficult to do, I'd have to go back to actually Halo 3, as we just showed off with the Mega Bloks console, because I love the mode called Rocket Race. And if you don't know what Rocket Race was, is everyone on the back of the Mongoose, right? It was, and it was like one person driving it and one person on the back. It's teams of two, and the person on the back had a rocket, and basically you have to get to each point before the other team, and the person on the back would just shoot rockets to the other teams so that they wouldn't. It was the most amazing time that I've ever had with Halo. Of course, I love Slayer, but Rocket Race was so much fun, and I hope it comes back one day. Please, fingers crossed.
You make a good case. Unfortunately, I'm quite basic when it comes to my multiplayer rounds. I typically also tend to go for Slayer. It's just classic, and it's very like clean and concentrated. And it focuses, like, I used to be very obsessively focused on my KD ratio, but I've evolved beyond that a little bit since my original Halo days. And I'll go even more basic, and I'll say co-op campaign, because it's one of the rare opportunities you get. I feel like increasingly there's not a lot of, like, full campaign co-op experiences, and I have really fond memories of that. And then when Master Chief Collection came out as well, it was just the perfect excuse to hit the max difficulty levels and feel like it's a little bit more approachable with a friend to go through. So I'm going to go with co-op. But we'd love to hear from the audience and know what you all think. We may even read out your answer in next week's episode if you can make a really compelling argument. And other than that, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.